The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. From hot dogs to cool kitties, this is Dark Side of the Pooch.
Welcome back to Dark Side of the Pooch with Dr. Rab Stewart. He is the man, 208-0301, rossbridgevet.com is their website. And of course, he runs the Rossbridge Animal Hospital. It's called Dark Side of the Pooch. We always take your emails as well. info@tonycurryradio.net, info@tonycurryradio.net. Dr. Rab, we started this interview, this show here in this podcast. You talking about you did something very interesting to a dog today. What did you take out and why?
We took the dog's spleen out.
Nice.
We took it out because it was too large, and it had some unusual architecture based on ultrasound. So spleens are kind of they hold a lot of blood. They hold a lot of lymph tissue. They're kind of involved in the immune system. But it's kind of like the appendix in people. Dogs can live without it. So when we suspect there's an issue with the spleen, the best way to visualize the spleen is with an ultrasound. And if we see nodules, or if we see fluid pockets, or if we see, you know, certain areas of the spleen that should look a certain way, if they look a different way, then if the pet is healthy enough to have it removed, we just recommend taking it out. Because it's, if it is cancerous, or even if it has what's called hyperplasia, so benign hyperplasia, that means that in certain areas, the tissue is very friable, and so it could open up. And since the spleen has a really big blood supply, they can bleed to death internally if something like that ruptures. So there's a lot of things that can happen with that spleen, whether it's whether they have a benign cancer or a malignant cancer or not a cancer at all, but just what be considered hyperplasia. The spleen needs to come out. So we just go ahead and take it out because they're going to be totally fine without it.
Is that your first spleen?
Oh, no.
No, really?
No. We're taking out a bunch of them. But it's not something you do every day. Not even something you do every week.
Now, in humans, I believe the spleen controls the white blood cells and the red blood cells and some of the platelets. I think it controls the levels that are introduced to the body. And I know humans can live without a spleen as well. Is that what they do in dogs? I know you briefly said what they're made of and what they do, but is that kind of the same thing?
Yeah, they're kind of a storage facility for a lot of red blood cells. Yeah, but they're also involved in the immune system. There's lots of lymph tissue and spleens.
Okay. 7 o'clock. I had to look at my schedule. We got so many stinking shows. 7 o'clock Central Time. You can hear the show. And I put it on at night because it is Dark Side of the Pooch. RossbridgeVet.com. And of course, on Facebook as well as Twitter. Their phone number 205-208-0301. info@tonycurryradio.net. Got a really interesting study I want to get into here in just a second that just totally flipped everything up on its head when it came to having service animals. But Rosie in Montgomery, Rosie's a first timer. She said, I just found the show. I love it. I wish I had listened before. Hey, we got all these podcasts. We got like 300 shows. You can go back and listen to as many as you want. She wants to know how to tell if your dog is having a heat stroke or some of the symptoms of a dog being overheated.
They will just kind of lay down. You know, first of all, they might be so hot that they don't want to move. They can also be really weak. So they can, if they're walking, they kind of walk like they're almost drunk.
Mm-hmm.
They also a lot of vomiting. It's interesting though. If they get too hot, they'll throw up. They can have seizures. They can, if it gets too bad, they can have seizures. They can have, this is now we're getting, you know, really bad. They can develop bruising on their skin, but you're going to see those other signs way before you see those last two.
You know, and I heard something interesting too, because I took my dog to be groomed a couple weeks ago. And the person there actually told me that I needed to be careful about having his hair cut too short, because by cutting a dog's hair too short, it can make them overheat. Can you explain that? She said, yeah, the actual fur on the dog keeps the dog cool. Is it because the sun, I guess, not beating down on the skin itself?
Yeah, you can think of it as like, you know, shade, you know, for the skin, or you know, so it does, you know, to some degree kind of help with that. You know, the sun getting, you know, kind of beaming down on them. So it's a little bit of a shade effect. Yeah.
So I heard this really interesting story. This is Dark Side of the Pooch that just came out July 14th. A new study published in the CABI journal Animal Human-Animal Interactions suggests that companion animals, including dogs, cats, fish, and birds, do not significantly benefit the emotional health of owners with severe mental illnesses. Results showing that owning an animal is not significantly associated with the well-being, depression, anxiety, or loneliness scores for owners with a range of severe mental illnesses such as bipolar disorder, psychosis. They said a lot of people, because of COVID-19, so they went out and got animals to keep people with severe mental disabilities happy, if you will. And it didn't really make that happen at all. An absence of COVID-19 restrictions, a possible explanation for our current findings could be that the added responsibility of animal ownership may still be exacerbating the other potential stressors experienced by people living with severe mental illnesses, including the cost of food, veterinary bills, and uncertainty. It's not to say that service animals aren't very, very important, because they are a wonderful attribute for people that do suffer from PTSD and also anxiety issues and stuff. But if you have severe mental disabilities, it's something to be to think about. Were you aware of that? Does that surprise you at all?
Well, a service animal is one thing, you know, because it has a real purpose. Whereas if you just have a pet for a companion, that's totally different. And I think that that's where a lot of pet ownership falls. I want a companion. I'm a little bit lonely, or I just want something for when I come home to work from work. It can sit in my lap and, you know, pet it, and it will give me maybe a sense of purpose. But, you know, all of those things that we just mentioned, though I would assume that those are things that, you know, most mentally stable, mentally healthy people think about. Whereas the, you know, maybe people that do, you know, have some type of, condition where maybe they're, you know, that they can't think those things through. The things that we would get out from a pet, the good things about pet ownership for them, they may be negative things, you know, like they're trying to take care of themselves. It's hard for them to take care of anything else.
Yeah. info@tonycurryradio.net, a ton of emails. Keep them coming. They're fantastic. Tom in Rainbow City wants to know, what's the best trip Dr. Reb has ever taken and why?
The best trip I've ever taken.
He heard you just came back on vacation, and I know you've seen some volcanoes and stuff, but what's the best trip you've ever been on?
Well, probably, you know, man, it's so hard, because my honeymoon was super great. I went to Tahiti for my honeymoon.
Nice.
So, the overwater bungalow thing, we stayed on one of the islands called Moorea. And I mean, it was awesome. You got to swim with these little reef sharks, and there's no one there, you know. I mean, it's not total solitude, but it's just a very small amount of people, which I love, because when I, you know, every day I am carrying on conversations, with, you know, dozens, if not, you know, more than that, with people. So when I want to get away, I want to go remote.
Yeah.
And so that was really nice. But the trip that we just came back from, the one that people probably heard me talk about, that was great too, because again, it was a small, little place that we stayed. Not very populated at all. It was on the other, you know, where St. Lucia is, one side of the island is super populated, and then the other side is not. It's more of a, you know, this is where you, if you live on the island, like this is where a lot of the locals are. So when I go to places, I like for them to be remote, and it doesn't even have to be exotic. So, I mean, I'll give you every year, you know, this every year we go to Michigan, with my wife's family, we go up to this lake in Michigan, and it's not one of the Great Lakes. It's just, I mean, 30 minutes south, and half of the lake, it's not a big lake, but half of the lake is managed and basically owned by the University of Michigan. So just to give you, kind of a mental picture, on the 4th of July, the lake is super crowded. There were 5 boats on it.
Wow.
On the 4th of July, 5 boats. Like you go to Lake Martin or Smith Lake or Logan Martin or whatever, the 4th of July, I mean, man, it's like the ocean. There's so many boats, yeah. You know, it's like a wake out there. So that's when I there's a lot of people when they go on vacation, they want tons of people, they want hustle and bustle, and I want total peace.
I could get you, man. Dr. Rab Stewart, Rossbridge Animal Hospital, RossbridgeVet.com. Of course, available on Facebook as well as Twitter. Their phone number, 205-208-0301. Stephen in South Haven wants to know, what's the strangest dog and strangest cat name Dr. Rab has ever heard?
Oh, man.
We went through a whole list of these a few shows back, but what's one that just kind of threw you off a little bit? And I mentioned, I just went to the Shelby County Pound a couple of weeks ago, and there was a dog there called Pizza, and she had 8 or 9 pups, and each one was named after a pizza topping. There was green peppers, onions. It was excellent. It was great.
That's phenomenal. But we have a few cats that are owned by a doctor from he's from England, and his three cats, it's like he gives them really long human names. Like I think one of them is like Sir Alex Quattrell, or it's something like that. If he listens to the show, he's gonna call up and he's like, how could you not remember my cat's names?
Yeah,
but I mean, he gives them all like, and I guess it's probably because he's British, but he gives them all like very proper sounding, prestigious, like English names.
I love that.
So those cats are they've got some awesome names, but it's like Sir Alex Quattrell is one of them. So I love names like that.
That is killer. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. I want you to close your eyes and visualize this. Toby in Nashville, Tennessee has a basset hound named Trigger. Says he loves to chase cars. I think we've all had an animal at one point chase a car, and all you got to do is let them catch it once, and they'll never do it again. I had a dog that wouldn't chase anything, wouldn't chase cats, squirrels, whatever, but whenever we were out in the front yard, even was on a leash, man, if a car was revving it up and coming down the road, that dog was going to run. What do you got to do to stop dogs from chasing cars, and why do they do it?
Well, yeah, sometimes they'll, when they get it that first time, it's the last time because they're not around anymore. Yeah. When I was a kid, I remember getting, you know, if you listen to the show long enough, you know that I'm, you know, from the middle of nowhere in Northwest Alabama. And so I remember I was on the trampoline. I mean, I must have been like a preteen or a teenager, jumping on the trampoline. And I remember seeing one of my dogs get hit. And I mean, it was dead instantly. So, you know, I think they do it because they, whatever that is, they just want it gone. Or maybe they want to play with it. But, you know, my dog did it because he saw it as an invasion, you know, of either his privacy or our privacy or whatever, you know. Yeah. He was going to chase that car away. But I mean, the best way to do it is, like a lot of other things, is just to kind of keep them from having the opportunity. But, you know, some dogs are outside dogs, and depending on where, you know, I mean, this is a worldwide show. So depending on where people are listening, you know, you may live on 30 acres, you may have a tiny apartment, or, you know, you may have, you know, 3/4 of an acre. But, you know, if you give your dog the run of the territory, you need to put something up, you know. And for front yards, fences probably aren't the best, but you can always get some of those underground fences, and hopefully, because there are some dogs that'll break through those too.
Doesn't it seem like most dogs though don't chase anything bigger than them? My dog will go after anything smaller than him, but I mean, if it's a horse, he ain't getting near it.
Man, but that's interesting because, you know, you have these little dogs that they have a big dog attitude.
Yeah, that's true.
And sometimes the smaller the dog, I mean, they'll bark at bigger things. So, you know, you get a little Chihuahua, and I mean, they'll give a Great Dane a run for its money. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I guess it's all just the personality of the dog.
All right. Nina in Gulfport, Mississippi, has a 7-year-old Persian. She said recently her cat, and it's an indoor cat, has been walking sideways like it's drunk. She said, I don't know. She said, it doesn't fall down. It catches itself, but it's actually walking like right front over left front. And she said, it's bizarre. And then it'll straighten up and act like nothing's going on. What's happening with my cat, Dr. Rab?
Well, usually when they have an issue like that, it's a neurological deal, neurological condition.
Or the owner smoking too much pot.
Right. Maybe the owner's the one walking that way. The cat's actually walking normal. But sometimes it's a neurological condition, and it may not be a big deal at all, but that's the first thing that comes to mind. But there's a, it could be an infectious, a neurological condition could be infectious, could be autoimmune, depending on how old the cat is. A lot of other things come into play when they're older. So first thing that comes to mind is a neurologic condition, but if she gets it in, has it looked at, it may not be that, but that'd be the first thing I would want to, rule out.
All right. Final email here from Steamroller in Twin Pines, Alabama. I'm not sure where that is. Mentions all the time when they go to bed, cat sleeps on the floor. And then every time he wakes up in the middle of the night, the cat is sleeping on top of his head. Why do cats sleep on owner's heads? I've seen this question somewhere else before. For something about cats, they always like to sleep on their owner's heads. What's up with cats sleeping on their heads?
I've heard it a bunch too, and not just sleeping, but just perching. Most recently we had a lady who brought a cat in. The cat ended up having ringworm, which is a type of fungus. And so the cat had been just laying, its favorite spot was to lay on the back of the woman's neck. And so she had developed ringworm on that area. So I think it has something. Cats love to perch. They love to, that's why we have cat trees, cat towers. They love to be at the top because they're hunters and they like to look around. I would say that it has to do with one of two things. They like the closeness of the owner. They want to just be, they want to have direct contact with the owner. And so if you're under a blanket, what's hanging outside the blanket, it's your head and chest. So I think that may be one reason, but I wonder if another reason is not, they kind of want to perch. I think it's one of those two things.
I think you're probably right. All right. info@tonycurryradio.net. Send your emails. We'll get to as many as we possibly can every single week. Dark Side of the Pooch. You can hear it every Monday through Friday, 7 p.m. right here on the TKR app, now available through Android and Apple, just simply by TKR. There's three letters and you're good to go. I do want to mention before we let you go, and I know you got to fly, you invited me to go to a Phish concert the other night. It was in Huntsville, correct?
Yep, that's right.
And I couldn't go, and it was last minute. And one of these times, I'll get a chance to go. I have my kids, but tell me about your Phish show up in Huntsville. How awesome was it?
It was good. There were two of them, so it was Tuesday and Wednesday night.
You went to both, I'm sure.
Oh yeah, I went to both. If people out there, if they're Phish fans, they'll understand this. If they're not Phish fans, then I'm sorry, but they have a really huge catalog of music because they've been a band for 40 years. And a lot of
have
these
they been
songs
around that long?
Yeah, they're as old as me. We have the same birth year, 1983.
That's crazy.
So they have a huge catalog of music, and some songs they pick up and they play. They've got songs that they've played for the entire 40 years. They've got some that they've played and they shelved because for whatever reason. But there are two songs that I've been to almost 40 shows and I have never heard. And I thought I would never hear them. One of them, they've only played 18 times since 1987. And they played not only that one, but another one that I've been chasing for a really long time too. So that Tuesday night in the encore, they played two and really three songs that I never thought I would get. So I even joked with my wife as we're driving to Huntsville, I'll give you the names. This is how ridiculous this band is. If they play Meat Stick and Iculus, I might retire. And they did.
And you're not retiring.
I'm not retiring.
I'm not even going to ask. All right. Tell people how they can find you and all the wonderful work you do real quick. I'll let you go.
Oh, they can find us on Facebook, Rossbridge Animal Hospital, or you can call us at 208-0301, or you can email us. We are rossbridgeanimalhospital@gmail.com.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.